Now you learn the next quality of the devil. You know, when you have an you know what it means to have an insatiable thirst? No matter how much you drink, you're still what? Thirsty. The devil has something you can call insatiable hate. Insatiable hate. It's not enough for him to see Adam burn in hell. It's not enough for him to see Hawa burn in hell. It's not enough for him to see his children burn in hell. He wants every single one of you burning. And every time he succeeds in, you know, you could think someone's angry and they kill someone and the anger goes away. No, he goes to the next one and the next one and the next one. He keeps targeting more and more people. He says, give me time until they're all raised again. Why? You think they're so much better than me. You think I'm arrogant? I'm going to show you how arrogant they are. Oh, you think I'm worthless? I'll show you how worthless they are. Oh, you think I have an anger problem? I'm going to show you their anger problem. Oh, you think I compare myself to Adam? I'll show you comparison. These guys are going to make me look humble. Some of these will be so busy, I'll feel like I don't even have a job anymore. That's how busy I'll make them. So he says, give me time until they're raised again. And then, you know, I give khutbahs about this, so I want you to go through them. They're on our YouTube page and they're on my Facebook page also. He says, give me time until they're raised again. And then he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. And then he says, oh, Allah says to him, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ. That's fine. You've been given time. You're among those who've been given time to wait. Meaning, go ahead, you want to prove your point? Because he still wants to prove Allah wrong. He wants to prove, fine, you think I'm messed up? And these guys are so great, they deserve sajda? I'll show you they're worth nothing. They deserve nothing. They're losers. I'll prove my point. He wants to prove Allah wrong. By the way, this is a satanic quality also. When you're corrected, there's a fire burning inside you and you want to do everything you can to prove yourself right, even though when you know you're wrong. You have the need to be proven right. It's like a victory for you. So that when somebody's telling you something that's the truth, accepting it might mean you lose the argument, so you won't accept it. Can't accept it. And you'll do everything you can to disprove or to undermine the one that corrected you. The inability to take criticism. That's what he has. And he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Because you made me slip. He's talking to Allah now. Because you made me slip, I will sit waiting for them on your precious straight path. He just talked about the day of resurrection, which means we already learned about the day of resurrection. He brought up something new now. What did he bring up? I will sit where? On your what? On your straight path. Meaning Allah already taught us about a straight path. He taught all of human beings, listen, I'm going to come bring you to this earth. It's going to have lots of crooked paths, but there's only one straight path. You stick to that, you'll be back here again. And that heaven, that home in heaven, that'll be yours forever. But you got to stick on this straight path. He says, this straight path of yours that's so precious to you, I'm going to sit right on it. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will come to them from their front, from their right, you know, from their back, from their right, from their left. Each of those means many things. I'll just share one or two things with you for each. He's going to stand right in front of you means you take one step towards Allah. One step towards Allah. And He'll put fear in you. What are you doing? What's your family going to say if you take this step? You're going to start praying? You know how extreme that looks? You know how crazy you look when you do that? What do you think about wearing a hijab? Are you insane? Wait, and you're just 19 years old. You're just a young man. Why are you looking like that? Stop doing that. You're changing your appearance. You're not hanging out with these friends. They're going to think you're weird. Who's going to hire you? Who's going to give you a job? You're going to get kicked out by everybody. Everybody's going to hate you. Stop. Don't take this step. You're going too fast. Slow down. We're all human. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just, he stands right in front of you, not wanting you to take that step towards the right path. Or he stands right in front of you and says, don't look here, look over there, look at how many options you have. He'll stand right on this road, because you know, if I'm going straight and this thing is in my path, what do I have to do? Either I remove this from my path, or I go this way, or I go that way. So he stands in this path, and if you don't recognize him standing there, he's encouraging you to take the right or the left, go some other route, don't go straight. There's always other, you know, for every halal, there's plenty of haram options. Right? For every good use of your time, there's plenty of bad uses of your time, aren't there? So for every good choice, there's a million bad choices. He'll just stand right in front of the good choice. Like, for example, waking up in the morning to pray. You got time? It's just the first snooze. You know? And he wants you to be angry at your alarm clock. At your phone. You know? So just, you got a little bit more time, you got a little bit more time, you got a little bit more time. Don't take this step, just stand there. You're about to take one step, you know, just stand there for a little bit. You don't have to take the step right now. Just wait a little bit, you got time. So holding you back, that's in the front. And then he says from behind. Behind means, you know, some people, when they take a step towards Allah, they took a step away from something bad. They were doing something bad, and they decided to not do that anymore, and that also is a step towards Allah. And he reminds you of the bad stuff you used to do and says, wasn't that fun? I mean, it wasn't that bad. Man, you used to be crazy, remember? I wonder what they're doing now, those friends of mine. I wonder what he's up to. Let me just text him. Let me give him da'wah or something. I'm just getting together with them because, you know, you have to stay in touch with people. He's trying to pull you what? Back. Sometimes there are very toxic people in your life that clearly were pulling you into haram, 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 haram. And somehow you took a step and got away from them. But that doesn't mean the emotional attachment isn't there. It doesn't mean the residual effects aren't there. And then you're about to take a step forward and the devil says, come on, you know you miss them. Just one text. What is it? Just respond. Just unblock for like 1 hour. Just 1 hour. Oh, they saw me online. Oh, I got they texted. At least I should respond. It's rude. You see, he pulls you back. There are people that want to pull you back. He uses them to pull you back. Or he reminds you of your past and says, you're too messed up. Why are you even bothering taking a step? Look at all the mistakes you made. You're going to take a step forward? Please. You're a loser. And then on the right, and on the left. Now the left is easier. The right I'll come to last actually. The left is when he takes bad things. Listen carefully now. When he takes bad things, because the left hand represents bad deeds. Yeah? When he takes bad things and he makes you feel like they're not that bad. It's not that bad. You're just human. You just have feelings. It's okay. Don't be so hard on yourself. It's not haram with a capital H. It's haram, but it's not haram, right? I mean, okay, fine, it's haram, but does that mean I'm not Muslim anymore? At least I didn't kill anybody. Yet. So you know, because you're about to do something wrong, and you say, well, at least I'm not Hitler. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you want to compare yourself to someone worse, you can get away with anything. Because there's always somebody worse. Right? So he comes at you with evil deeds and he makes you feel like they're not that bad. He says, to Allah, he says, these human beings, I'll come at them from the front, I'll come at them from behind, I'll come at them from there, left. And eventually, by the way, if you keep slipping, it's not that bad, it's not that bad, it's not that bad, then that it's not that bad changes. And you know what it becomes? What's so bad about it? What's so bad? Why is it bad? I don't understand why it's bad. I mean, can't just the person live their life? Can't they just do what they want? Why is it so bad to be happy? You see how the conversation changes? وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Shaitan beautifies their deeds to them. Now it looks like it's a good thing. I don't even know why Islam is so harsh. Why is the Quran so rigid? Like, just let me live, man. Let me just try to breathe. Just being a normal person. That's the devil's play. But the most wicked, in my opinion, personally, the most wicked is when he comes at you from the right. What does it mean when he comes at you from the right? It means several things, but the one I want you to pay attention to is when he lets you do good things, because he also did good things. Remember? He did a lot of good things to be what? And because of his good things, good deeds, he felt like he's better. So he wasn't doing bad deeds. He was doing what? Good deeds. But based on those good deeds, he felt he was better in a position to judge who's better and who's worthy and who's not worthy. So when you do good things, you're memorizing the Quran. You're studying Islam. You're graduating from an Islamic university. You're attending some halaqat. You're doing the religious thing. You're young men starting to give khutbas. You're doing da'wah. You're doing this stuff, good stuff. And now as soon as you feel a little bit higher, you start, man, these people need so much da'wah. Those people, you know, and you find a young man saying things like, you know, some people are so ignorant, and they say this, this, this. Wow. Some people are so ignorant. Astaghfirullah, some people are just following the way of shaitan. Really, some people? Some people? You're already in a position to talk about who's following the devil's path? Guess what that represents? The devil's path. That's what the devil's path looks like. When you, in a position of doing good deeds, feel like you are more worthy of Allah's recognition than other people, Allah should be giving you responsibility, you have the role, you should be Khalifa on the earth, not them. You get it? That's the scariest one, because the person doing it actually thinks they're doing something what? They're doing something good. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They're assuming they're doing something great. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness, religious self-righteousness is the scariest one. And it takes other forms too. He comes at people from the right and says, hey, I know you don't pray, but I mean you do give charity. Right? You volunteer at a hospital. I know you what you do on the weekend, let's not talk about what you consume and what you do on the weekend, but I mean you volunteer also. You do some good humanitarian stuff. So I mean, okay, you got a little issue on the side a little bit, what's the big deal? Because you do these good things, you should be able to get away with some of the bad stuff. He comes at you from the right. He says, I will come at them in all kinds of ways, all directions. And then at the end of it, he makes this claim. And this is a very interesting claim he made. In all of these directions, he's wanting us to disobey Allah, yes or no? Right? So he should be saying that after I'm done with them, you will see that they are not obedient. You'll see that they are not what? Obedient. He says, you'll see that they are not grateful. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will not find most of them to be grateful. I was expecting him to say obedient, but he said what? Grateful. Or I was expecting him to say, you will find that most of them will forget. Because he makes us forget. He makes us slip. I was expecting him to say that, but he said something else. He said, you'll find that most of them are not what? Now the question is, grateful for what? Number one, grateful for the fact that you gave them the highest honor ever given to any creation. They will not honor that award that they were given. They're not going to be grateful for the fact that you allowed them the greatest test that leads to the greatest reward. They're not going to be grateful for the fact that you directly speak to them. They're not going to be grateful for that. They're not going to, you know, when someone sees themselves as less, if you think of yourself as worthless, then everything that you've been given also becomes what? Worthless. Everything, you know, let's put this in even simpler terms so you understand. When somebody's really depressed, and they think that they are, nobody loves them, nobody cares about them. Somebody has in their head, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me. Then you take this person on a vacation, you get them a cake, you take them, you know, for dinner, you do whatever you do with them, are they happy? No. They can't see value in anything that's being done for them because they have no value for who? Themselves. So none of the good things you do mean anything. It's all that nothing makes them happy. He says, once they're convinced that they're nothing more than animals, that none of these good things that you've given them, they'll ever appreciate. None of these good things they'll appreciate. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. They will not be, you'll find that they're not grateful. You're going to find that they are usually living in complaint. That's how I'll get them. They're going to complain, and that's what I'll know. They're not being grateful. I can come at them from right, left, front, back. I can get them. Man. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Allah says now to him. Now we're listening to this entire conversation. I keep repeating that so it sticks in your head. قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْءُومًا مَدْحُورًا. He says to him, get out of here. You've been humiliated. And you're madhur. Madhur actually means that you are being crushed on your own. This is an image. If you take a piece of paper and you crumple it up and you press it harder, it becomes a smaller ball. And you press it even harder, it becomes a smaller ball. Allah is describing the devil. He's got these negative thoughts inside of him. And his own thoughts are crushing him constantly. They're squeezing him constantly. He's madhoor. Nobody's doing that to him. He's doing that to himself. He's doing that to himself. And Allah says, by the way, this idea that, you know, some people ask me this, you know, when I teach this story, some people ask me fun questions. Like, Ustaz, I have a question. I was like, what's your question? What if he does tawbah? Then what's going to happen? Because he could do tawbah, right? I'm like, he should. He should repent. And Allah's rule is, if somebody repents, does Allah reject? Allah never rejects. So why doesn't he do it? Allah describes, because he's madhoor. His hate keeps crushing him, and crushing him even more, and crushing him even more. He's crushing himself, not allowing himself to stop and realize what he's doing. Which is exactly what he wants for you. He wants you to have a negative emotion, like hate, like resentment, like something that happened. When you blame someone, he blames Allah, right? He's decided to blame Allah. Now it doesn't matter if the Quran comes. He can hear the Quran too, yes or no? He can hear the Quran, because you have to say A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim before you recite the Quran, which means he's hearing the Quran. So correcting his views is coming from Allah himself. There's enough reason for him to do tawbah. But he in his world is crushing himself, where no words from the outside, they just bounce right off. They bounce right off. And that's what he wants for people. He wants them to be immersed in their own negative thinking. So no good, no word from Allah will ever affect them. Man, the misery of the devil and how he wants that to be contagious. Allah says, get out of here, مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. This is one of the scariest ayahs. You, get out of here, humiliated, crushing yourself. Then he says, and whoever follows you among them, who's them? Us. Allah pointed at us. He says, and whoever follows you among them, I shall absolutely fill hell with all of you, all together. He didn't say all of them, he said all of you. He halfway through, he said, by the way, I was talking to them, I'm done with him. Now I'm talking to you. You follow him, I will put all of you in hell. Do you understand how serious this test is now? Because we just signed up a few minutes ago for Jannah, right? Like, yeah, we got this, sign us up. And Allah says, and you follow him. And if every one of you follows him, then I will put every last one of you in hell. Do you understand? لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. All of you.